Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprises throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program recorded weekly at WJR in Detroit. During the spring and summer of 2015, only the second hour of our show, which features listeners' questions, is heard live each week from 5 to 6 p.m. every Saturday on WJR 760 AM in Detroit. However, both hours of this show are available each week on this podcast and are available to all of our affiliates across the state of Michigan. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor Podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker and a team of tech experts in here today. And we are being visited today by the Gadget Guy, also the Cheapskate, which is a nice combination, actually. I'm talking about Rick Broida, and we are going to be handling the big question. As well as, if you stick around in our second hour, we'll also be taking some questions from the listeners out there as well. Right now, the Internet Advisor is winding up and getting ready to go for you. So good to be back with you folks. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the Internet Advisor, and lo, these 18-some-odd years, and with me, my partner in crime, Mr. Gary Baker. Good to have you
here. So glad to have you back, too. We got through it last week, but it was tough.
And you did an excellent job. I was delighted. I got to hear the program as a listener, which is quite different from doing it, but really enjoyed the content of the program that you and the other guys did. And so this week, everybody kind of shifted, and Ed and Kel now are off at some various events. But we have a couple of guys in studio with us who have been here before and to be helping us out with our tech questions. Bill Carver, good to have you back.
Hi, welcome back. I welcome myself back to North Central.
And we want to welcome you back, too.
There we go. Okay.
Bill works at Quicken, where you've been a tech advisor now for some 3-odd years, is it?
Yeah, about 3.5, coming up on 4.
All right. And you are both also our Apple expert, filling in for Cal on that, and very familiar with the Mac, and also with Windows as well. And next to you, and we're delighted to have him back in studio with us, is Jeff Harder. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Jeff, tell a little bit about yourself.
We opened up a family shop in Livonia back in 08, and we're going on almost 7 years.
All right, coming up on an anniversary, I understand.
Yeah, and we're doing very well.
Jeff runs a place called PC Gladiator, and like Shane Hamlin, who's in here, what I kind of like about that is you're not only familiar with the machines and working on them and the operating systems, but the people coming in.
Correct.
And that's we're going to need that kind of insight, matter of fact, probably in this hour. But the guy who is our, matter of fact, the star, who's in the spotlight right now, is Mr. Rick Broida. Rick, good to have you back again.
I'm so glad to be back again. Star is really overstating it, though.
You are bright. We do know that.
So. Well, Rick has a lot of different kind of handles. One is as our gadget guy, mm-hmm. and you're the guy who does great reviews of throughout, with CNET in particular that you work with. But you also do a column called Cheapskate as well.
I do. I write the Cheapskate blog for CNET, and it's a deal of the day for people who want to get their tech goodies at a discount.
Okay. And by the way, we have links to those kind of things that are on our homepage as well. So if you go to internetadvisor.net, you get a link to some of the other columns that Rick writes on a regular basis. And what kind of gadgets have you been playing with recently?
You know what? We were just talking about this. It's been kind of a quiet couple of months.
Hasn't it?
You know, there's
yeah.
nothing much going on with Apple except for the Apple Watch, of course. You know, I haven't had really a chance to weigh in on that at all, but it's a big thumbs down for me. Yeah, just thumbs down, straight up.
Did you see Mike Wendland this week in his column?
I didn't
PC
see it.
PC Mike, yep. has turned his back in. Not, well, he didn't get it.
But he said, I'm giving up. I'm fed up with the process.
And I'm hearing that a lot, especially from the blogosphere, where people, you know, who are all excited to get it and spent a few weeks with it and just said, no, not for me.
I think that's almost inevitable. Well, I think that's almost inevitable with any device. But
they don't have the native Apple Watch apps out yet. So when
there
that comes
some.
Out,
no, there's
a few,
some.
But not like they're going to have. Do you think like version 2 is going to be better?
It's so early to even think about. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a, you know, I would think a year off before we would see a next iteration of it. You know, I think the problem with the Apple Watch is exactly the problem that I predicted it was going to be, which is that it's too expensive, and a one day battery life is just not a non-starter. Right. I mean, people don't want to have to charge their watch every single day. It's bad enough you have to charge your phone every single day. Seriously, I mean, it's like, and so then you've got this thing on your wrist that's dead, and nobody wants that. And well, I think that's really what's killing.
Bill, you were nodding. You saw PC Mike Wendland, an old friend of ours who was also known as PC Mike, his comments.
Right, and he agrees the same thing. Battery life is the big problem. It's like, you know, of course I have my iPhone 5C of a couple years old now, so I have to carry around a car battery to keep that. But of all things, there is one person that likes it, but he's never away from the charger. Rush Limbaugh's been raving about his iWatch.
Oh, jeez. Well, was he one of the celebrities who got his?
He's one of the celebrities who got his. He's a big Apple fan, actually, surprising enough.
It's hard to pick out between the fanboys and people who are like the regular users. I don't know that we'll ever sift that out. Well, it'll take a little more time to do it. But you know, it's interesting, Rick. There has been kind of a drought of new devices. And what do you think it's due to?
It's a couple things. I think we're reaching a little bit of a saturation point where, you know, the phones have all gotten so good that everybody's kind of got the phone that they want and they're happy with it. And, you know, tablets have definitely kind of peaked, I think, in terms of what they're going to offer. You know, you have your iPad and you're good. You know, so it really is. Our next question is, what's going to happen with PCs, you know, with laptops, with computers, with Windows 10 coming? You know, certainly we'll see some more action there. But in the gadget world, there's nothing major right now. Right. That may change again as we get to June.
Rick, I'm interested in your perspective on HoloLens.
The
Microsoft virtual reality.
There you go. Glasses.
And basically, they're saying, you know, we're not going to that's not going to take off till 2016. But a lot of people are talking about it, at least in the tech world they are.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about VR in general, virtual reality.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting to me that Microsoft is throwing their hat into that ring. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I don't mean to keep knocking on Microsoft for this, but I don't think
you do too.
Well, a little bit. I have to because Gary's sitting across from me. It's because I don't think they know what the product is meant to be. I don't know if they think it's for business or it's for consumer or it's for gaming or it's trying to be everything to everyone.
Does it matter, though? I mean, because I think we're all going to use it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, really? I'm still not convinced that people are going to want to sit around with a big clunky headset on their head anyway.
This is not that big a clunky headset. I wonder, though, if this is like the Kinect. Remember when the Kinect came out where you could, you know, talk to it or wave at it, whatever. And I thought, oh, all the applications. But none of the applications seem to have come true.
It's still a gaming appliance, and it's really kind of lost some of its luster.
You're right. I think the question will be, what will this be applied to?
Right.
Okay, hey, we're going to come back in just a minute, and as Rick alluded, we're going to tackle that thing that we call the big question. What's next with the PC? And for Rick and for myself, it's a rather personal issue. It's like riding a bike, getting back here and doing the show again. And it really is. I'm back on the bike.
And as usual, the best conversations all happened off mic during the commercials, of course. You know, we were just talking about...
We've always talked about having like a two-tiered program, one where you've got a behind-the-scene one, you know, where we would fill that in. That's just like a
you
bonus.
You got to stop having these breaks. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's it. But somebody's got to pay
it.
For this.
That's the solution. That's the solution.
Enough of these
Welcome back. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker, you just heard, and the voice of Mr. Rick Broido, who is our gadget guy, and the legendary Cheapskate, who's in studio with us, and with somebody very special with you.
Yes, I am so delighted to have my dad in studio today. Usually he is in Florida listening to WJR on his the WJR app, but today he is with me in studio to see, you know, how the sausage is made.
Come on up to the microphone, sir.
Come on up. Say
hello, Dad.
Hello, Dad.
get closer.
A little chip off the old lock. Here you go.
Hello, Dad.
What's your favorite gadget, guy?
My iPhone 6.
Excellent.
All
Good
right.
Call.
There you go. Now, by the way.
No, when I walked in with Ed, and he was saying this is like coming home. You started work here in this building, in the Fisher building, right?
Yes, I started with Merrill Lynch in December of 1967.
My goodness.
On the mezzanine. And we were here for
five years
until we moved to Southfield.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there 5 years, and then we moved to Farmington Hills in the Triatria building, and there is still a Merrill Lynch office there. I live close by.
All right.
No, it's really neat to hear that. Well, you said coming back home. Isn't this beautiful here?
It's
just absolutely gorgeous to see this. Thanks for coming in here, for chaperoning your son. Glad to have you in studio. We also have Bill Carver, who is with us as well, and he'll be our tech help during the second hour, but also here to chime in as well. And somebody else who is with us is Jeff Harder. Jeff Harder is the proprietor at PC Gladiator in Livonia, right, Jeff? I got that location right this time.
Yes, sir.
And Jeff, the last time you were on, you were gracious enough to give me a hat, and I wear it quite frequently, and people always try to guess, what is that? And then I start to tell them, and they go, oh yeah, I get it. But it's a great conversation.
The cyborg,
with the little mouse on the in the front part. But it's a great conversation starter. People want to go, what is that? It's really interesting.
Speaking of conversations, we started this in the last segment, and Rick, let's dive. You know, I kind of put this whole thing about the big question up there, and the big question essentially, we kind of nailed it at the end, is what's going to happen with the PC is kind of the big question. But for us, it's personal in the sense of we've got people in our families who are ready to move on.
Yes.
But we're not quite sure which direction to send them in terms of a computer.
Yes, and it's such a good question nowadays. We talked about this a little bit before, but we'll use my mom as an example. Mom couldn't be here today, unfortunately, but she has a Windows 7 laptop that's, I don't know, got to be 3, 4, maybe 5 years mm-hmm. old now, mm-hmm. and it's just slow as molasses. I mean, it's just as happens with Windows machines over time as they just slow down, which... Yep. As we all know, frustrates me no end.
I'm getting a lot slower as I age. So.
Well, so
you're catching up to the machine.
It happens to the best of us. So, and it's just, you know, I don't want her to have to wait 10 minutes for the machine to boot up. It's just ridiculous.
And I have the same problem with my wife complaining about 3, 4 years ago, I bought a refurbished Dell Inspiron mm-hmm. desktop. At, I think it was, one of the big shops around. And then there was a good buy at the time. Windows 7 was on it. I put Windows 8.1 on it. But it just creeps along. It's just a Core Duo. So, we're both in that situation.
Yes.
Where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here?
Your mother's on a laptop. My wife is on a desktop.
Right. So here's what I tried. Here's what my thinking was, because, you know, for a long time she's been dealing with the slow computer, she's been dealing with virus problems, all the usual Windows nonsense. And I said, you know what, Mom? Let's try an iPad for a while. And so I actually bought her an iPad with a Bluetooth keyboard, mm-hmm. thinking that most of what she does anyway is browsing the web,
email,
you know, a little bit of Facebook, this sort of thing.
Right, exactly.
What do you need more? I mean, an iPad is so perfect for that, because there's no boot time, there's no viruses, there's none of that nonsense. And I guess I'll just say that she has been slow to warm to that. She just used to doing it the way she's used to doing it. She does do a lot in Word, so she needs some solid word processing.
And by the way, now that is actually with Word for iPad?
Word is available for iPad. Yeah. It is. But, you know, so I was asking her about this just the other night. You know, Mom, why are you not into the iPad? And she said, well, it's not the same as I'm used to doing things. Plus, it's a smaller screen. You know, it is a 9.7 inch screen. She's on, I think, a 15.6 inch screen now. That's a big change.
Yep.
So now it becomes a question of, well, okay, you're ready for a new laptop. By all means, you should have a new laptop. You deserve a new laptop. But what? What do we do now? Do we wait for Windows 10? Do we go ahead and just jump in with Windows 8.1? Do we try a Chromebook, maybe?
You have the same feeling. Now, guys, I'm going to pose this from the other side.
Okay.
Ginny, my wife, has been on a desktop with a big 21-inch screen. Oh, she has a monitor in front of her. You know, so I'd like to move her to a laptop, mm-hmm. because when we travel, and we do occasionally, then she could have her own device with her, and she wouldn't have to wait for me to finish, and she was, you know, tapping her foot while she's waiting to get on Facebook and make all those important, posts that she wants to make. So I'd like to get her on a laptop, but I'm also thinking, guys, it's going to be a smaller screen.
It is going to be a smaller screen.
And you can use the same monitor.
Yeah, just plug it right in. Now you got two screens. Actually, for the iPad, I was going to suggest also if you get your mom an Apple TV and a large 52-inch television stored at my house. But you can mirror the iPad to that television. She can just sit there in this huge thing.
That is an excellent point. Dad, what do you think? 52-inch TV?
Oh, no, Dad, just ship it to my house. I'll take care of you.
Jeff, what are your thoughts?
You know, I like the iPad. I like the Surface. But when it gets to devices that are compatible with printing, you got to go with the Surface.
True.
You know, the iPad is a great device for the person that wants to use it occasionally, surf the net, but it's not something that you want to hook up to a printer and struggle with. I mean, I've done this in the past.
I can print from my iPad.
But you can. There's apps.
But you notice that I have both the iPad and the Surface sitting right in front of me. I need them both.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's not a either or. It's a both and. No, now, you know, I think people can get by with one or the other and make it do. But you're right. I do some video editing. I can't do video editing on the iPad. I just can't. I try. Yeah. There are apps to do it. It doesn't work as well using it on the Surface.
Real quick, chime in. On a retail standpoint,
This is somebody, by the way, speaking as a store owner.
Yeah, we talked about where we're going. Are the desktops dying or the laptops dying? This year to date, I've sold more desktops than any other year.
That's fascinating.
Well, they're all turning in their XPs. You know,
they're turning in their.
And they're not even. They're coming in. They're having me move the data, and they're having me, you know, give them brand new ones. And they don't even want them anymore. They just say recycle them.
But they don't understand their options.
Well, hold on. Back up. They're turning their what's in? They're turning their desktops in.
Correct.
They're turning desktops for other desktops because they want a bigger screen, and they look at the laptop, and they don't understand that it's really easy. It's a USB port. They can plug right in.
Well, no. What I'm saying is they're going from XP desktop to Windows 8.1 desktops.
But it's desktop to desktop, correct. Not desktop to laptop with a monitor.
No, but they're still selling.
Yeah, they're still
desktops are still selling.
Yeah, okay. And that actually really it surprises me, but I've had the same experience. So that when I write about a desktop on the Cheapskate, for example, mostly I do like laptops and tablets because that's where my head is, and that's where I think a lot of the great deals are. Every once in a while, I'll feature a desktop, and people go nuts. They come out of the woodwork saying more desktops, which really surprises me because I don't want a big hulking tower on my desk or anything.
And neither do they if they didn't.
Well, but no, I don't think it's I don't think it's that, Gary. I think it's really a question of what people are comfortable with and what they're used to, what they like. And there's definitely a horsepower issue, you know, with a desktop, especially if you want to do video or games. You get a decent video card in there, you can really do a lot more than you can with most laptops.
But that's not who's get a more powerful turning them in.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, you can get a more powerful desktop for the price of it. I mean, this laptop here is about $800, and there's a whole lot of desktops less than this laptop that can completely outperform
it. Oh, yeah.
Question is, though, one question I have, are they getting the all-in-one units or still the tower and the monitor separate?
I'm going to be honest. The all-in-ones are great. They get too hot. They're not vented correctly, and they tend to lead to more issues.
Hmm.
Yeah, no matter what brand it is.
Your whole thing is...
Bigger screens. They're going to 24-inch now. Everybody wants.
Oh, they're so cheap.
Exactly. They're very cheap.
$50.
And that's the... Okay. I think we are... No, this is kind of interesting because I think we are really touching on a live nerve of where a lot of people are right now. And I'm fascinated, Jeff, by your comment that people are coming in looking for PCs, for desktops. Coming back in just a minute, we're going to continue this big question issue of where do we go now with a new computer? Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, and thank you for joining us and for our affiliates. Good to see you guys back again, or good to be back with you folks again. And for those of you enjoying this through the podcast, thank you. By the way, if you go to internetadvisor.net, Sunday nights, our whole program is wrapped up there with a bow for you, and you can download it there, or you can subscribe to it on your favorite podcast. And by the way, coming up in our second hour, we're going to be taking live calls on WJR, and you can enjoy listening to that as well. Our guest in studio right now is Rick Broida, and we have a whole crew of other folks in here, Gary Baker and Bill Carver, and Jeff Harder is with us. And one of the things that you mentioned, Rick, and we're going to do that in just a moment. We've been kind of arm wrestling about some of the different factors, you know, between where do I go? Do I go PC, desktop, or do I go to a laptop? And one of the things we want to do in this segment before we wrap things up is to talk about which of these different options is better for which kind of user. And we'll do a little bit of that in a second. But before we get there, one of the things that I find is a problem, and maybe you guys can comment from this, is that, like, for instance, my wife is working at a desktop at a very small, we have a two-room apartment, really. And in the bedroom, that's where her quarters, where her little desk is, and that's her nook. I don't know where I would put a laptop in there, because the desktop fits nicely underneath. She has a keyboard and a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse, and then a monitor in front of her. I don't know where I would put the laptop in there in order to be able to hook it up to, I mean, obviously under the desk, but I don't necessarily want her typing on the laptop keyboard.
Well, why it's called a laptop. She has a lap, right?
Why don't you want her to do it?
Well, because she is a creature of habit, like most of us.
So you don't want to force her to do it.
I don't want to force her into having to do that. Yeah. Now, she will have the advantage when we travel of having a laptop, which is what I'd like to have, is to have her have that advantage when we travel. But the problem is we really don't have the real estate in the bedroom there. I mean, or I'm having a hard time envisioning how I would put that in there. And as we were talking in the break a little bit about that, that's a bit of a logistical problem as well. Thoughts, guys? Anybody help?
So are you saying that you want to keep the desktop then and also have the laptop, or is this going to replace?
I'd like to replace the desktop with the laptop.
So if you so that it can take all that portable. Stuff, you're saying that the nature of the way you have it set up now with the keyboard tray, maybe that's it goes underneath, wouldn't work with the laptop?
We don't even have a keyboard tray underneath right now. It's like a glass desk. She has the keyboard, the wireless keyboard on top, and the wireless mouse. So I'm just not sure how to make that thing work.
So this happened to me a few years ago, where I had my wife said, I just replaced the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? And again, it came down to, I would like the bigger monitor. And I said, why don't we just get you a monitor and put it, you know, she has a little desk,
mm-hmm.
and she takes and she puts the, she does have the laptop. This is her second laptop now.
Mm-hmm.
But she puts the laptop there. We have a little bit of a stand that we put the monitor on so that it's up higher.
Oh, I see.
Right?
And then you sit the laptop underneath it.
And she uses, so she has both.
I got you. I got
she has her laptop screen in front of her and the bigger monitor.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't use the bigger monitor hardly at all.
Really?
Yeah, she's come back now. She's figured out that, you know what, because she does take it and she moves over to the kitchen table.
Okay, so she uses the laptop.
She moves out to the deck in the summertime. She moves other places. We don't, you know, she doesn't take it on vacation very much, but she does some.
So the bottom line is you don't have to give up that bigger monitor.
No, just put
if you
it
go to a laptop.
And what we did was she thought that, you know, it's the big tube monitor, and no, it's a flat screen. It sits right in the back. And she just folds this up. We do have to elevate it a little bit.
Okay.
But that was it. So that's how I would do it. And then I would let her go ahead and sit at the kitchen table if she wants.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's what I would like her to have to be able to do. Knowing her, she's a creature of habit, I don't think that'll happen. Go ahead, Gareth.
If you got her a 17-inch monitor laptop or a 17-inch monitor laptop and took all the other stuff away, she would adapt very quickly.
I think she would never go back. Yeah.
You know, hook the printer up wireless.
That's
pricey. And then,
that's
no one ever
pricey.
Goes back.
Not necessarily.
They had
They're
them
cheaper,
very cheaper 17-inch on Christmas.
Than they are the small ones.
Hmm. There was a 17-inch thing on Woot just the other day in the 400 and some range.
Wow.
And usually the 17-inch monitors, because you have more room for a battery, you get longer battery life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I do is my computer's in my living room. I actually have the desk there. It kind of sits up, and then I have an HDMI cable to connect it to my television. Right. So I've got another monitor next door.
Oh, I love it. I love it. John, just a quick question before we, Rick, go to some of the things about what things are better for what people. But, Jim, I'm fascinated that you're finding people willing to go from one desktop to the other running Windows 8.1. They're not fighting to have Windows 7 on it?
Last year, I made a conscious decision to not buy another desktop. I was not going to buy another desktop.
For the store.
And things have changed. I purchased a large amount just about a month ago from HP. And I'm selling them reasonably cheap,
mm-hmm.
and I'm selling them out. I'm selling one a day, at least one a day.
Wow. And so, people aren't complaining about Windows 8.1 necessarily?
No, what I'm doing is, of course, I'm putting the classic shell on it, making it look like 7.
Explain classic shell for the listeners, just quickly.
Classic shell, it's a free app. It's classicshell.net, and it transforms your computer into Windows 7. You can start it like Windows 7. You can start it with Tile, but you have in the bottom left corner, you have that start button.
Okay.
And you never have to see the tiles. You can make it where they never come up again. And every
exactly
Rick is nodding.
And I want to be honest. I've had older customers come in and they say, you know, we just hate 8-1, we hate 8. I say, why? And they say, we hate those damn tiles. I said, I'll tell you what, if I can give you a brand new desktop and promise you that you would not know if it was 7 or 8, would you buy it? And they said, yeah, they said yes. And every customer has been happy.
Yep.
They cannot tell the difference.
Hey, I have a quick question on that front. Does Classic Shell also give you the option of disabling like the charms bar when you mouse over to the right corner, one of the right corners?
That I have not looked into.
Because that's my concern. I'm going to do the exact same thing for my mom, is get her a Windows 8 system machine and put Classic Shell on it so that it's, for all intents and purposes,
looks like
Windows 7.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned that what's going to happen is she's going to mouse up into one of the corners and that charms bar is going to appear and she's going to go, what happened? I don't know what this is.
Yeah, you can shut those off. I mean, I don't know if it's... You know,
if it's Classic Shell or if it's part of Windows.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Okay. As long as I know, I can shut that off.
Rick, let's talk about, we've talked about these different factors involved and hopefully maybe touched on for the listener out there something that you're dealing with and maybe giving you some insights. But let's talk about maybe helping some folks in terms of what might be better for certain kinds of users. How would you direct them?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting now because there's such a shift now because so many people have smartphones or tablets. And I think that those devices are doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of things like, you know, email and Facebook and the sort of stuff that you used to sit down at the keyboard to do,
yep.
Sit down at the computer
right.
to do. So then it begs the question of, well, what do we really need the PC for?
Mm.
And I think that, you know, again, there's a lot of people who are just traditional and they want it the way it always has been and they want to sit down. But for things like word processing, you know, things like, you know, you have photos that you want to offload from your camera.
Right.
Maybe you want to do a little video editing. Maybe you want to play some games. These are the people who I think are going to want to buy a more traditional desktop, maybe with some horsepower behind it, or a laptop with a larger screen, you know, a 15.6-inch screen, a 17-inch screen.
Okay.
Something that's going to get them closer to the more traditional desktop experience. So I think there's that category of user. And then I think that there's the people who still want a keyboard, but really just want something that's kind of akin to their tablet or a phone so that they can just have a keyboard. And for folks like that, I would say look into a Chromebook, you know, or look into one of these, I hate to use the term netbook, but like the new HP Stream.
Oh, yes.
Stream 11, the Stream 13, which sell for, I think, $199 and $229 for the 11-inch and the 13-inch models, running Windows, which is extraordinary.
Yep.
You know, they're no speed demons, but for that basic functionality of word processing and web and
so it's kind of,
stuff,
as you said, it's kind of taking the functionality of email and some surfing and Facebook that I would do on my phone,
right.
But it gives me a keyboard.
And a bigger screen.
And a bigger screen so I can make better input. Okay.
Exactly. So I think you have this two category of user now. Is like somebody who needs a little more horsepower, who wants the traditional desktop computing experience, and then you have the person who maybe, to Gary's point, doesn't really know that they now have the option of something that's a little smaller, lighter, less expensive, and not so powerful, but you don't really need that power. What is now a lightweight processor 5 years ago was a powerhouse.
You mentioned some dollar figures. Jeff, can you talk a little bit? What are we talking about when people go from desktop to desktop nowadays with the HPs that you're talking about there?
The special that I've been running is, it sounds cheap, but it's brand new HP, 4 gigs of RAM, 500 gig hard drive. It's $329, and I move all the data for free. I've always done that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And that's nice. And that's a nice deal that, you know, and there's personal touch and they walk out the door and they know that it's useful. But I will tell you that a Toshiba 17.3 looks like a 20 inch on a desktop. You know, $387 for a Toshiba, $360 for one Dell, and $349 for another Dell.
Yep. These are laptops or desktops?
These are laptops.
Yeah.
With 17-inch monitors.
Right.
Wow.
And so we're talking...
Okay, I'm just looking them up right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Generally speaking, then, we're talking somewhere, when all is done, between about $400 right now.
Yeah.
Can get you into a decent kind of computer. Hey, back in just a minute with 3 free utilities. I would just like to thank Dave Schwartz, who has been our engineer, for this part of the program, helping us to get on the air and to be in your neighborhood. For those of you who are part of our affiliate network, thank you very much for joining us. And also, thank you to the guys in studio, Gary and Bill. And I want to thank Jeff Harder in particular for being here. Jeff has the PC Gladiator, which is a local computer shop, which is in Livonia, Michigan, on the west side. Yes. Thanks for being here. And Mr. Rick Broder, our gadget guy, is with us as well. You know, guys, I just wanted to say something that we have mentioned this in terms of our conversation. You're talking about where to go to buy things, etc. We have a special place on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. It's called Your Trusted Computer Repair Shops. And these are places that people have said to us, we have gone there, we have been well-treated or gotten a good deal. Matter of fact, Jeff, that's how we heard about you, was one of our listeners saying that. And the same thing with Shane Hamlin, who was often with us here with his Comptech services in Sterling Heights on the other end of town. And it's the value of a small shop is that you do get that very personal service. Now, Gary, as you were pointing out, this last segment, you were talking about some deals that you were looking at online there.
That's right.
You're finding some great deals online as well.
But and to Jeff's point, and to other companies out there that do this, you can get great deals online. You could also get, one of them was from Best Buy, right? Mm-hmm. So you can go in and get from Best Buy, but you still, even the large box stores, you don't get the personal service.
Right.
You don't get, like Jeff had mentioned, you don't get your data moved over. You don't know that when you walk out the door, everything's working fine.
Right.
And so, you know, so there's some value there, right?
Huge value.
Absolutely.
I just wanted
some
to...
people would like the lower price.
Right.
Other people really, there's a value in having... you know, having somebody do that stuff for
you. Huge value, and I would say that as the cheapskate.
Yeah.
Speaking as the cheapskate, you have done, you always do this, but that's Rick Broida, by the way, who's been with us as the gadget guy in this hour, and thank you. His dad, Ed, has been with him here as well. It's good to have him in studio and not down the line in Florida listening to us. But I wanted you to talk about that. There's something that you shared with us. As the cheapskate, you always have your eye out for something that cost little or nothing that is a real benefit to us. And one of the things I saw, an article which I have included in our show notes here, is about three free utilities to make your computing easier. And they're all things, I heard somebody else say, I've never seen these things before. But they're kind of neat.
You know, best things in life are free.
There you go. The motto of the cheapskate.
Absolutely. So, yeah, let me hit a couple of the highlights here. The first I want to mention, and I think you have this linked on the homepage, Foster.
Yes,
so
we
people
do.
Can
yeah, the article.
More about it.
We do, and you sound really smart in the article.
I try. So the first one is I really think it's crucial that people use a password manager. We live in such a password-driven world nowadays, and if you're just scribbling them down or trying to commit them all to memory, it's just not working. And so I have found a surprisingly good password manager that's absolutely free, and it's called Norton Identity Safe. And they broke out this Identity Safe password manager from their suite of utilities and offered it as a freebie. And not only does it give you a desktop component where as you visit various sites, it will plug in passwords for you so you don't have to commit them to memory. It will generate, it won't generate strong passwords for you, but it'll plug them in for you. But it also has mobile apps that it will sync all of these to so that you can have access to them on the go. And that's huge.
That's
something you normally don't get from a freebie.
Norton
Identity Safe, definitely worth
it. So you don't have to get the whole Norton suite.
You can just get this on its own.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So the next up is called Phrase Express, and this is basically a tool that helps you insert text that you would normally have to type over and over again. So, for example, an email signature something that you have to type regularly for work. Maybe it's some boilerplate text or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like a macro editor, so you just assign it to a hotkey and then... bam.
You know, we have directions that we send to guests who are coming to the studio.
That's
guest.
Right.
That would be a great thing to be able to use for
Absolutely.
That.
It's perfect for things
wow.
like that. So it's called Phrase Express. And again, it's a freebie. It's actually a very capable, very robust product, almost overkill in some respects. But the fact that it's free, I say, it's worth the learning curve.
Absolutely. Okay. And the next one then.
Okay. And the last one I want to talk about is something that solves a Windows hassle that has existed since the beginning of Windows, which is that when you mouse over a particular window and then want to scroll in that window, you can't unless you click that window to bring it to the fore. In other words, to activate that particular window. So the utility is called WizMouse. And what WizMouse does is solves exactly that issue. When you mouse over a window, your scroll wheel is now active, even if you didn't click in there. And it sounds really simple and almost stupid because, like, oh, I'm saving exactly one click. I can't live without this utility. This is like really transformed my Windows experience. No knock until you tried it. So get WizMouse and then contribute to the author. He takes donations.
That is really neat. Now, I noticed, was there one other one they call M8 free clipboard?
There is, yes. If you're a heavy clipboard user, which I am, you know that when you copy something to the clipboard and then paste it and then copy something else to the clipboard,
boom,
the
gone.
First thing is gone.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So it's a one item at a time type of thing. So M8, that's the letter M and the number 8, free clipboard, gives you a much more expansive clipboard that will store multiple items that you copy to it and then give you kind of like a pop-up list that you can insert things from there. So it actually kind of complements Phrase Express a little bit. If you don't want to get into that, you can copy stuff to your keyboard and keep it there sort of at the ready for the next time that you need it.
Those are very valuable things. As a matter of fact, I'm just thinking that certain times when I'm, for instance, putting together the web page for our show, that I will be clipping things from different articles or from wherever else it may be, and that clipboard function would be really excellent. Because great sometimes stuff. you need a password, and I'll go to my password keeper, mm-hmm. I'll copy it onto the clipboard, ooh. Boom, it's there.
Blah.
But
way too many steps.
Yeah, exactly. Way too many steps involved in this. And that in particular, I'm fascinated by the Norton one because we have for so long, and Gary, I know we've done this in the past, Norton is kind of the whipping boy.
Yeah.
When you're talking about security suites, because it has traditionally had
It happened a long time ago,
yeah.
But we never forget that. Do
we never forgive them.
Yeah. So, traumatic. You know, Rick, it never fails, and I know that the weakest point of computer security is the user,
yeah.
Right? And it's always in their passwords, and everybody has their own special way of keeping passwords, and some people write them down, and if you have to, you have to.
Some people keep them in a memo, Dad.
And some people take and say, I've solved all the problem. It's a really... it's a really secure password. And you go, wow, that's great. That's, you know, and they don't tell me the password, but they tell me that they use special characters and lower and uppercase letters and numbers and they mix and match and it's not a word in any language. And, oh, this is wonderful, right? And then they tell me they use it for
everything.
Every site. Yes. Right?
Oh, my gosh. And all they have to do is break into one site, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And now they just need your username or know who you are, and they can go to a whole bunch of sites they might guess.
Thank you for mentioning that, Gary.
Oh, my gosh.
Such a great point.
It's like, okay, go back to writing them down. That's way better than to have one to use for everything.
You know
what's
interesting? I use LastPass, mm-hmm. and there is a function on LastPass which will automatically generate a new password for your sites every, I think, 6 months?
Hmm.
So that you can set it to automatically generate a new password.
The one I use is Dashlane, which I've been a big fan of. And it has a similar function that's fairly new where it will basically give you ratings for your passwords. And if it detects you have any weak ones, it will automatically go and change them for you.
Ooh.
You don't have to do it manually. Now, that is handy.
And it remembers them, fortunately.
Yes, and it remembers them, what it changes them to.
Otherwise, it'd be like changing the locks on the house and not giving you the key. Rick Broida, thank you. It has been such a good time to have you back here. Rick Broida, by the way, you'll find him all over the internet. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll find our notes from the program today and also a link to him so that you can regularly keep up with your column on CNET,
mm-hmm.
where we'll find you both as our gadget guy and also as the cheapskate. And please do look at that. Guys, are you getting yourselves ready? Because this is the big time. We'll get the team together. Gary and I, along with Bill Carver and Jeff Harder, are getting ready. We're rolling up our sleeves because we are going to be answering your questions here in just a moment on the live portion of our program on WJR. And it's going to be at 800-859-0957. Looking for you folks there. By the way, during the week, if you have a question, go to internetadvisor.net.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll find past podcasts, our toolkit of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget, look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
The good advice from experts continues here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes. I'm Foster Brown, and this is the Internet Advisor. Dean Krauskopf did a great job answering your questions about the garden. Well, we're going to be digging into the digital garden, if you will, with you. If you've got a question for us about your computer, any kind of question, 800-859-0957 is the number. Give us a call right now. Get online. We've got a great group of tech experts in here to help solve your problems. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. And as I said at the start of this program, we're kind of a continuation of the great advice available to you here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, 760 AM WJR. And that's Gary Baker and myself, have been doing this for going on 18 years here. And the phone number that we've been using to give you folks out there a chance to step in and get your questions answered is the same, 800-859-0957. Now, if you happen to be driving along right now and saying, you know, I've been having this problem with my computer, either, you know, getting on the internet or getting around it or sometimes getting over it, 800-859-0957 is the number to call, and we're going to start taking calls in just a little bit. Let me introduce the folks in studio. Gary, of course, good to be here with you.
Certainly great to be here.
And to be back again. I missed the shot last week, but we have a couple guys in studio who are going to help us out today who are part of our tech team, and that is Bill Carver. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be back. I love it coming in here.
Bill is somebody who is an expert both in the Mac field and in the PC field, and you work with Quicken right now on their tech services. Been there for about a little over 3 years, right?
Yep, over 3 years. And of course, downtown, it's been fun working, putting the M1 rail downtown at this point. And all I can think of is Scotty from Star Trek. There be rails, Captain.
And it's getting closer to being done.
It is getting there.
It'll take some time, but we get there. And I think we'll all figure it's going to be well worth it when it arrives. And also with us is Jeff Harter, who is with us. Jeff is the proprietor of PC Gladiator and Livonia. And Jeff, it's good to have you with us again.
Thank you for having me back.
And I like to have the perspective that Jeff brings to this is that day in and day out, he works with folks on their computers looking to either change them or get them fixed, and has that kind of insight. So you're kind of not only getting a conversation with us as in terms of experts here, but somebody who day by day deals with people like yourself out there with your questions that you show up at his shop in Livonia. And again, the number is 800-859-0957. And we've got the lines open right now, so you can go right ahead and line up while we talk with Mr. Mike Brennan, who is a regular visitor to our show at this time every week. He's the editor of MI Tech News. And Mike, it's good to have you with us.
Thanks, Foster.
Mike, why don't you share a little bit about what MI Tech News is for people who may not have heard that before?
Well, it's a lot of things. It's turned into a much bigger portal site than when I started 15 years ago. And we have a number of content partners, including the Engineering Society of Detroit, IT and the D, Digital Divas, you guys, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And the list goes on and on. We have audio. Soon we're going to have video. I'll tell you about that deal later off air. But it's really moving fast. However you want to get your tech news, we can deliver it in any of the mediums that you like.
I love it. Mike, let's talk about some of the headlines here to give people kind of an idea of what we've got going here. I see one headline says that engineers and computer aces rate high in a new survey of jobs that are available out there.
Yep, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, and computer scientists, according to the American Society of Employers, who actually surveyed a lot of very large employers, and they're all saying that these are really in demand, and then the non-technical bachelor degree types that also were in demand was business, administration, accounting, and human resources. So lots of good stuff there.
Now, the other thing I saw, and I know, isn't it Comic-Con is going on this weekend, I believe?
Yeah, big tie-ups on the freeways. Lots of people going. Yeah. Today and tomorrow.
Shane Hamlin, who is one of the our hosts here as well, is very much involved in that. Yep. And you had
the Showplace Center.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. You've got Toyota is going to be showing a SpongeBob SquarePants Toyota Highlander at that Motor City.
Well, actually, the Sienna minivan, because last year they brought Highlander. This year they're going with the Sienna minivan. But like Gary was saying, they're expecting 50,000 people to come to Suburban Collection. And it's really pop culture. You're going to have some TV stars there, former TV stars, lots of merchandise, science fiction, you name it. It's all there. But it's a lot of folks. So.
And another headline I see here is Hiveland wins the Ann Arbor Sparks Best of Boot Camp. What's the boot camp to start with?
Well, the boot camp is a training session that lasts over several days, and they bring in some experts, and they work real closely with entrepreneurs, beginning entrepreneurs, to teach them how to do business plans and more importantly, pitches, because pitches is what you need to get that down really cold to get money for your business.
Hiveland is kind of fascinating all in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, I had to look that one up because I read that and I went, what? And it's a platform that lets farmers communicate with beekeepers, and you go, okay. But what it is a lot of farmers have these hives set up, but they're not, you know, experts in beekeeping, so they bring in the pros from Dover through this the communications channel. I thought that was kind of cool, actually.
Very important, I imagine, for the fruit growers.
The online world is all abuzz.
Very good.
Boom. Where's the rim?
One of those bee movies.
Okay. Where are the rim shots when we need them? Well, folks, you hear, this is kind of a wide variety of the type of topics that you'll see that Mike handles every week at MI Tech News. And the best news about all of this is, if you're interested in these kind of topics and some of the other things he's been talking about, you get access to that absolutely free. All you need to do is to go to internetadvisor.net and click on the subscribe now button, which is down below the smiling faces of our tech folks who are waiting here to answer your questions. And just click on that, put your email address in, and you're on your way to receiving it. Every Friday, you'll get a whole list of not just these titles, but things that are happening on a national level and a state level. If you're interested in entrepreneurial things, you name it, he's got it, along with all the audio resources and a surprise video resource coming soon. All that for nada, zero, zip, nothing. Mike, it's good to have you with us, and we look forward to be with you next week as well.
Thanks, guys. I'll look forward to it.
Take care, Mike. All right, folks. And remember that our phone number now is 800-859-0957. And our mantra here is that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. 800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, and we are live, part of the Weekend Expert crew here on WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes. Our number is 800-859-0957. And if you've never given us a call before, this is a good day to do it. Lines are open. 800-859-0957. In studio with us, we have a whole bunch of people. Gary Baker is with us. Gary's been doing this tech work for quite a while and now works in IT. And we also have, you've been working in IT for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, but
just recently.
So right now, I'm sorry, I'm distracted a little bit because Rick Broida was on the last hour, and people can get to that podcast by going to our site, internetadvisor.net, and looking up the first hour podcast. But he mentioned Norton Identity Safe.
It's
a free password password safe. So I'm distracted a little bit. I'm downloading it onto my iPad right now. I'm going to see if this really is pretty good.
I would like to get some.
Because it's free.
I'd like to get some reactions from you guys on that. By the way, as of Sunday night, if you go to internetadvisor.net, our homepage, you'll be able to hear the entire 2 hours of our program. The first hour happens to be recorded for our network, and this second hour is live, and it's made up of your calls at 800-859-0957 and some of the answers that we have for you. So those two will be put together on Sunday nights. But in the first hour, Rick talked about Norton Identity Safe, and one of Rick's labels is the Cheapskate. He's on CNET and has a blog called The Cheapskate there, which he puts out some great stuff. But I want to get your reaction to this. We were teasing him that when he said that Norton Identity Safe was a great password keeper, it was kind of like our eyes opened up a little bit, and like the word Norton set off some signals in there.
Well, only people that have long memories, because that hasn't happened in a long time. We were concerned because they had a suite out, and they tried to get everybody to buy the suite. You could buy antivirus alone, but they tried to get everybody to buy the suite, and the suite did all of these great things.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was, because it kept pinging your system and it hogged the resources and made everything slow down. So then they had to take a few things off. You know, it was a great idea on paper. Didn't quite work that well. Lots of other companies that have that same problem. If you go to Comcast and you don't want to use Microsoft Security Essentials, which is what we recommend on any later operating system, right? If you don't want to use that, if you get your connectivity, right, from Comcast,
They use Norton.
AT&T uses...
I'm not sure who they use, but...
I should check and see. Is it McAfee that they get free for them? I'm not sure.
But they all give anti-password or anti-virus systems free because it protects everybody.
Exactly. They're as interested as anybody. Right? Jeff, I'm curious. You, as a proprietor of PC Gladiator in Livonia, when people buy new systems from you, and they're Microsoft systems, let's say they're buying a Windows 8.1, it's got that great Windows Defender part of it. Do you recommend that they buy an antivirus on top of that?
Absolutely. If the customer wants to go ahead and do the free one, you know, that's their choice. They can do that. You know, there's a few that we push at the shop that we've used for years, and we've loaded hundreds and possibly thousands of computers with, and the customers don't come back. Trend being one of them.
Trend Micro.
Yeah, I really like Trend. Been using them pretty much exclusively for 2 years. And, you know, you get the occasional person back in that, you know, they get a problem. But I want to say it's pretty much, you know, maybe 5 out of 100 ever come back with a problem with Trend.
Okay.
You know, it's that high of a number.
So, Bill, how about you?
I'm actually a big fan. I just use Defender, which is part of Windows 8.1 myself. But I also, to quote a cliche, think outside the box, because any antivirus you get, if it's going to find a virus for you, it has to first get to your computer before it's discovered. There's another program I recommend for people. It's actually a website, which is, it's escaping my mind, but it's Canine Web Protection. It's essentially it keeps a white list of websites you can go to. It blocks based on various content, and one of those happens to be what's called malware sites, or sites that are known for malware and that.
Ah.
And it keeps that blocked at the spot away from your computer as opposed to on your set. And so if you have somebody that gets constant viruses, my father was great, put it on his. He's my antivirus research.
Guinea pig.
He gets everything. It just goes right there. There's a giant low pressure
laugh.
Area.
That's terrible. Yeah.
You know, Foster, I have the occasional customer that comes in and says, you know, you put Trend on and I got a virus. How does this happen? I paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the software is only as good as the user. If something pops up and Trend says, do you want to allow this file to do something? Mm-hmm. And you click yes, the damage is done. I mean, Trend can alarm you, it can stop you, but it cannot ultimately...
Guys, do you think in some ways that we are being lulled into a false security when we have, this kind of virus protection, et cetera, on, and we don't take some common sense kind of steps?
Well, absolutely. You know, like we said, for many, many times over many years, the weakest point is the user, right?
Right.
And so we all have to use common sense. And that's sometimes a little hard to do because the bad guys get really good at faking us out. They're conning us to click on a link.
Practically speaking, what are those kind of things that we do that invite disaster if we aren't careful? What are those kind of things?
The biggest is searching a known... if you want to search Google and then the first thing pops up, you think it's Google and it's not, and you click on their link, or it's downloading, you know, the music, the videos for YouTube. Those tend to cause problems.
So
and mail.
Downloads?
Mail is, yeah. And mail is still, you know, to this day, probably the number one.
When you say mail, I mean, everybody gets mail. What do you mean by mail?
You'll get a
like
spam.
Phishing?
Yeah. And then you'll open it, and then it'll just, you know, it's an executable file that takes over.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my check from the Nigerian prince myself.
By the way, let me remind you of the phone number, 800-859-0957. This works best when we get your questions. And if you have one, it could be anything about your computer, about the internet, again, 800-859-0957. So let's go back to what are some of the things that, again, that we can do with the best of protection that can get us in trouble. You mentioned mail, and you mentioned, like, what do you mean, mail you don't recognize?
Well,
here's
a way to limit your risk is don't bring the mail onto your computer. I don't know how Gary feels or Bill feels about this, but always check your mail from, you know, the server. Don't, you know, the days of Outlook, bringing it in, I feel that is more of a risk than you checking it from, you know, Outlook.com or...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
As soon as that mail comes onto your computer, you're at a higher risk, I feel.
Yeah, well, it's not the mail. It's what's attached.
Well, correct.
It's the link, and that happens no matter if you are... if you check it at the server or not, right? It's if you click on a link you shouldn't click on, it could take you to a site that will immediately start to download a file that could be a virus. The other thing is that, you know, when you take and download a file itself, so even if you're checking the mail at the server, if you say, oh, that looks like it came from Foster, but it looks like maybe Foster has a different email address, but it must be him. It kind of says Foster Brown. So I'll click on that, I'll download, and then, he sent me a file. I better look at the file. And that's what gets you in trouble. So it's not often the mail itself. In fact, it's almost never the mail itself. It's always the link that it takes you to or the file that's attached to it.
I had to say, and in all fairness to everybody else out there, it's real easy to get, you know, to move too quickly.
Yep.
And to pick something up and to click on something that you think is one thing without looking carefully at it. I've done it.
Yeah, and you go to a site and you think it's Google, but it's google.i or something, right? And
exactly.
And you're not looking carefully enough at the URL, the address
bar. That's how the spoof starts.
Yep.
Okay, here's the number again, 800-859-0957. Time for your questions. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Bill Carver, and Jim Hart are waiting here to help you with your questions on the Internet Advisor at 800-859-0957. Back in just a moment. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, 800-859-0957. Let's get to our callers. We got Gene Danigeri, and let's go to Gene from Chesterville. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Gene, how can we help you? Hello, Gene.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just have this burning question that I can't figure out.
Okay,
we'll try.
When I log into Facebook from my iPhone,
whether
I'm away from home using, you know, the cellular data or at home on, like, using the Wi-Fi, I'll see that I have active sessions, like multiple active sessions, and when I look at that, it says, you know, active from Richardson, Texas, something Pennsylvania. And, then it says delete them if you don't recognize the location. Well, I'm in Michigan, so I should never have anything but my local area.
Now, you said active sessions. I'm on Facebook?
Yeah, when you go to privacy and you check security, there's like a little...
Yes, I'm looking at privacy. Okay. And under the privacy checkup?
No, you go to your privacy.
Got it.
Settings.
Yes.
And there's on the iPhone, there's an other location, and I believe it's under security.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tells you how many active sessions you have started, like you signed in from several different devices.
Oh, I see. This is indicating where you've been signing in from.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I'm not signing in from Ohio or Richardson, Texas or Pennsylvania, and I can't figure out why it's...
Have you changed your password on your Facebook account?
Every single time I see something other than New Baltimore, Michigan, where it
good
normally comes up for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, sure. Good for you.
Every single time.
Good.
And
I
can't figure that out.
And you're still getting this... this indication that there are sessions coming in from someplace else, right?
Yes.
Have you talked to Facebook support?
No.
No,
I haven't.
Yeah, that might be, I think, probably your best shot, because this looks like something that is unique to Facebook. And because I've never seen that kind of thing before. Now I'm getting a little paranoid.
Okay.
Yeah, and I haven't either, and it's not supposed to be that way, right, Gene?
No.
You know this, so you're doing the right stuff, which
good
is
for you.
Worried about it.
Gene, nobody's been in those areas that you see this? Ever?
Say it again?
Nobody's ever visited these areas that it's popping up?
Nope.
What's good question is, do you play a lot of Facebook games on your iPhone?
Oh.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't have my setup, I don't do the Facebook sign up.
A lot of times you might give another website access to go into Facebook, and I'm just wondering if it might be using that location to log in.
You know, that may be. Now, do you sign into other? See, I never use Facebook to sign in to any other account because I just don't want it tied back to Facebook because I never know what Facebook is going to do next. Right?
Right.
They're okay now, but I never know what they're going
to
do.
Because many sites invite you to use Facebook to sign in.
Yeah,
okay.
And I never do that.
Do you do
and
that,
I might
Gene?
Be too
do you
paranoid.
Do that, Gene? Facebook to sign in to any sites?
No, I had in the past,
okay,
and I realized like what it was doing, so I deleted all that, and I went through and blocked, you know, access to, you can shut all that stuff off.
Right, good,
I've
good for you.
I've reset my passwords, I've popped my SIM card out of my phone,
mm-hmm.
You know, I've done all the things I thought I was supposed to do. I've unplugged my wireless at home.
You work for the CIA?
Yeah, I might have got around to suggesting some of those things, you know, an hour from now. But good for you for doing those.
A couple things strike me, Gene, on this. This is a unique concern with Facebook, and that's something you could either, you know, check with them on directly on then, or go to some try Googling the issue and see if you come up with some bulletin boards or some discussion groups.
I'm not coming up with anything right now, but I haven't had a lot of chance to go. Look at some of these as well. But I'm guessing...
I have one more question.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Let me finish this. I'm guessing that Facebook would be really interested in this.
Or at least in explaining what's going on.
Well, it's based on IP address, so maybe the
What's based on IP address?
The location. The location services are based on IP address, so... Maybe a cell tower. Maybe I don't know. I'm just thinking. Maybe.
But she needs to talk to somebody who can clarify her.
Right. Yeah.
So what was your other question, Dee? Before we move on, we've got Dan in the wings there.
Just so when I don't use the iPhone app anymore because I thought maybe that was the problem somehow. And so I'll just go. I'll Google Facebook to sign in, and it always comes up with an M.
Yeah, that's for mobile.
That's your
mobile. That is their mobile site for you.
Okay, I
never
knew, and it bugged me.
Yep, that's it. And it should bug you until you know. Yeah, so that's a good, again,
I'm glad,
good
Gene,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you are, and kudos to you for being the security conscious. Thanks for calling, Gene.
I really
appreciate it. That is one on the ball lady.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know what? I think there's something else going on here because obviously that shouldn't happen.
Mm.
They shouldn't be able to do that. And I'm wondering if there's a problem there that maybe only Facebook can
handle. It's interesting.
I'll keep looking when we get a chance to see if there's other people out there that have noticed the same problem. So,
all right, Dan out in Howell, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Yeah, hi. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I got that Sea Cleaner utility on my computer. I've got the Vista system, and I really enjoy using that, but I'm nervous to use the registry cleanup. I'm just wondering if I'm treading on thin ice if I go on that.
You know, it's interesting you asked that question because I think in the past, the registry has been that one taboo area that you don't go anywhere near.
Well, and if you know what you're doing...
Yes,
it's not a problem, right? But so many of us, because it is complicated. It is complicated.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So many of us have made mistakes, and you can make a pretty easy mistake that can be easily fixed, and you can make a mistake that you have no idea how to fix.
One thing I'm thinking, of course, is Sea Cleaner right before you do that registry clean, which I do recommend. There is a question that asks if you'd like to save it. But the other thing is make a restore point before you do it.
Well, that's exactly what they say. Before you do anything with registry cleaning, you're going to see it says, okay, you want to use this. Do you want to create a backup of your current system?
Mm-hmm.
And you should say yes.
Uh-huh.
And that,
I've seen that, yeah.
And that what that means is that if something goes haywire, you can always go back to that.
Now,
but go ahead.
Now, Bill, I was just going to ask you the letter in the last, I don't know, eight years or so, CCleaner's gotten so good that I have not seen problems. I don't know about you, but it's, you know, every time they found a problem before, they fixed it in the next version, and it's gotten very good.
Oh, yeah.
They've been fantastic, actually. As a matter of fact, for me, I just bravely click no and go on pass.
Me too. Yeah, I do the same thing.
I don't. But I automatically hit, you know, create restore points anyway for all sorts of other reasons. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's there if I have to go back, but I also don't click, you know, create a special restore.
Did you have a follow-up question, Dan?
No, I think that was about it. I'm just a very basic user. I'm not ready to be playing around with registries and stuff. You know?
Well, no, your question is a very good one, because if you're working with Windows, you do have the possibility of reaching onto the hood and pulling something out that shouldn't be pulled out if you don't know what you're doing. Maybe a last comment. Jeff, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, we don't recommend messing with the registry unless it's not running right. Is the computer running really slow? What's the reason?
It's running quite well, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. That's kind of the...
Right.
I would agree with Jeff on this. If there's and if you have to, I think you probably could go ahead and use it to Bill's point.
Okay.
Okay, very good, guys.
Dan, thank you very much for a very good question. It may sound like a basic question, but I think it's a very good one, because that CCleaner has been I've used it forever.
Yeah.
It's
gotten so much better.
Oh, yeah. And as you said, they keep on updating it. We've got Jerry from Hudson coming up in just a minute, but I want to let you know, folks, that we've got another about 20 minutes here for you to get your question in. And here's the number, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. Let's go to Jerry, who is with us from Hudson. Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
Hi, good, except Tigers game's running over into your time.
Uh-oh, that's what's happened. I wonder where all those listeners had gone.
rain delay here.
Okay.
My semi-annual computer problem here is my daughter needs to get a new computer, and she's doing a lot with spreadsheets and various kinds of applications, and she's running out of memory.
Okay.
What would you recommend for... the RAM and memory to purchase in a new computer?
Excellent question, Jerry. We're going to put you on hold because the music says that we're coming up to a break right now to pay the rent. So we'll come back to Jerry from Hudson in just a moment. We got some other folks calling in since it's a rain delay with the Tigers. 800-859-0957. We'll help Jerry get a new computer for his daughter that'll help her. All that coming up on the Internet Advisor. I want to thank some folks who have made this program possible. There are silent heroes behind the glass. That's Dave Schwartz is our new engineer today. Thank you very much for doing a great job. And Mike Stett, thank you for helping us with the phones there. Mike's one of the engineering staff here who is also filling in there and doing a great job on that. Thank you so much. And to my co-host in the studio here, Gary Baker, good to be back with you again.
Yes, it's wonderful to be here. I've got a little message to Gene. I looked on a site called Snoops, SNOPES.com.
Snopes, yeah, right.
Snopes, right. Sorry for the mispronunciation. Anyway, they say that there's a rumor that while using Facebook from your mobile devices, people can use your account. Supposedly, this can be checked by active sessions under security. Is this true? And they say, no, it's not.
Oh, okay. Now, that's Snopes.com, by the way, which is a great place to debunk urban myths, but that's right. Excellent.
So
excellent.
More, I've got to read a little bit more here, but that's what I found
okay,
so
Gene,
far.
Okay, Gene, so that's someplace for you to look as well.
So Snopes. It may not be as a bit a problem
okay.
like she thinks it
and,
is.
And by the way, Bill Carver, thank you so much for being in here and for helping answer questions. And Jeff Harder, proprietor at PC Gladiator in Livonia, thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you.
Good to have you guys in. Okay, let's dive back into our questions and say, Jerry from Hudson, you were looking for a new computer for your daughter, right?
Yes.
And she does a lot of spreadsheet work. What kind of computer does she have right now?
Toshiba, I think. I'm not quite sure.
Is it a laptop?
Yes, laptop.
Okay, uh-huh. Toshiba laptop. And why does she need a new one right now? What's the concern?
Well, it says she's running out of hard drive room.
Oh, okay, There's a number of ways of dealing. How old is that laptop?
It's 2 or 3 years old.
Okay. Yeah,
if you want. I'll take your old one.
I mean, Jeff, one of the things that people can do in this kind of an instance is to buy a new, bigger hard, like a solid-state drive
they
or something
like
that.
They can do an external drive, move everything. They can move it to a cloud.
Yeah.
Or they could clean it up and just go through it and delete what.
She wants to get a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
I was going to say,
it.
She wants to get a new one. All right.
That's
all right.
The best excuse. Yeah. I'm out of room. Need another laptop.
You had asked for the specs, and, you know, that's there's some calculations. You know, do I buy more memory? Do I buy a better processor? Do I buy a bigger hard drive? All that is a factor, but I think, you know, if you want to look for something quick and inexpensive, you want to probably go with Toshiba. Gary had found some good deals online, but you know, 6 gigs of RAM, a terabyte, and possibly a quad core processor.
Yeah, what is she going to use it for again?
Spreadsheets, I think was one
just
of the big
spreadsheets. Does she do a lot of video editing with it? If she's running out of room, there's something
yeah,
else
there's
she's storing,
pictures.
Right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of video editing, no. A little bit, but not a lot.
Okay.
So one of the things also to figure out, and the guys have put their finger on this, is there's some things you need to figure out ahead of time. Why is she running out of room? It may be because she's storing everything on the computer where she could put some stuff on the cloud
or
Dropbox
or
on an external hard drive. Yeah. So those are some questions to answer beforehand because a new computer won't magically fix the problem if that's one of those habits that's involved, yeah. Okay?
Although we were talking...
You can get a lot of bang for your buck, though. I'm a big fan of Seagate Momentus hard drives and laptops, which is a combination of... You know, you can get a 2 terabyte drive, which would probably solve that storage if you bought it 2 years ago. But it's also got an SSD on top of that, which makes it move quite
a
bit faster.
Yeah, solid-state drive is SSD.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's a Seagate Momentus hard drive. Now, they don't necessarily come with a standard on a computer. This would be something you would put into a computer?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a place where... you could put something in there, you know, have it installed for you, basically. And
exactly. So you would take it. So one of the other suggestions, Jerry, is that you would take her current computer, take it to another shop, and then see if you could have them put one of those drives in and essentially take the one that she's got right now and for less money get more space. And if it's only 2-3 years old, I'm going to guess the processor is a pretty good one in the Toshiba.
It is, and you can take the old drive and have them put it in, have it put in an enclosure, use it as a backup
Excellent.
Drive.
Excellent. Yeah, take that old drive and use it as a backup drive. So those are some suggestions for you, Jerry. What you might want to do is to stop into a place like, let's see, you're in Hudson. You know, find a computer shop down there if you know someplace maybe in the Adrian area that you trust. Check it out and talk with them. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let's get to Steve, who is with us in Wyandotte. And Steve, looks like you're buying a new desktop as well. How you doing, Steve?
Good. I'm looking to replace a desktop. It's a Hewlett-Packard desktop that's about 10, 12 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking to get another desktop because that's kind of what I like. But what I'm mostly interested in is... getting one that has the Windows 7.0 in it again, as opposed to the 8.1 or the 10.
Yeah, Steve, they still sell those. I mean, you could still buy Windows 7 loaded machines. Numerous sites still have them. One being Newegg. I mean, Newegg still sells them. Micro Center still sells them. You could walk in and buy them.
I really think when using that shell program that Jeff was talking about earlier, if you like Windows 7, you want to stay with that interface. Get Windows 8. It's half the size, twice the speed. It's just much better, I think, underneath the hood. It's also going to be something that Microsoft is going to support longer. Microsoft is now shutting off Windows 2003 server support. And so if you do that and maybe get that free shell program that Jeff was talking about in the prior hour.
And if you're going to buy a computer today, make sure you get a certificate that says you can upgrade to 10 when it comes out.
Yeah, I would.
I should tell you that I've got a laptop that has 8.1 on it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really not fond of it because no matter what I seem to do on it, it never seems to work on it.
Well, there may be a combination of things. I guess what the guys are saying is this. If you buy something that runs Windows 7, eventually that won't be supported. So if you buy something that has, as Gary said, the certificate that says you can go up to 10, I've been using Windows 10 Preview for about 6 months. It looks a lot like 7. It functions a lot like 7. You don't have the tabs, you know, the colored, you know, blocks, et cetera.
And also there's a classic view on the 8.1 that you could
turn it to.
Yeah, we're not trying to sell you on that necessarily.
Right. Or just wait until you get to the 10 and pick up one with 10 on it.
But as Jeff was saying, you can get a desktop right now.
Still with 7.
With 7 on it.
But Steve, why do you still want to replace your desktop? This is the debate we've been having today.
I know it's a hard drive making a little bit of noise, and I'm thinking maybe at about 12 years of age, maybe.
Why not go to a laptop, I guess, is the question.
Yeah.
What is keeping you?
I like the desktop. I've had like 10 of them in a row already. So.
Is it the comfort factor, or is it the ease of access?
I would say, you know, a laptop is good, but the problem I've got with a laptop is the portability. What? You know, the battery only lasts about an hour on them now. And at least the one I've got. Look, so it's not really portable. And as far as tablets are concerned, I've got 3 Kindle tablets.
Steve, I want you to look, and if you don't feel comfortable doing this, maybe somebody you know can, but look up that Classic Shell, put it on your laptop, and see if you like it.
On the one you have right now, on the current.
And then if you like it, then I strongly suggest just buying another 8.1 desktop.
Okay. Now, where I've got, like I said, I've got the 8.1 loaded on there. Now, where do I find that in it? In the studying someplace?
No, you actually got to go to classicshell.net. It's a free download. It's a safe download. I've never had a problem. It's a donation site.
Again, it's classicshell.net. And you can download it. It's a free download, right, Jeff?
Correct.
And then you put that on your Windows 8.1, and it will give you it'll look like Windows 7. I haven't used that, but I'm heard it. As I say, again, I'm using Windows 10 Preview, and that looks like Windows 7 a lot.
And Windows 10 is going to come out in general availability this summer.
Yeah, in a couple of months it'll be out. So
it's Windows Shell or ClassicShell.net.
Yep.
Yeah, you'll see it right there on the homepage.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Steve, for being with us. And Ruth, hang on the phone. We'll get with you after the program's off here. We'll talk with you off air. For the rest of you folks, thank you so much for being with us. Gary, Bill, Jeff, thanks so much for being with us here The Internet Advisor. And folks, every Saturday we're here from 5 until 6 and ready to answer your questions. During the week, if you have a question, go to internetadvisor.net and hit the Contact Us button. Send us your questions. And don't forget, Sunday nights, both hours of our program will be there available for download. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find show notes for this podcast or others, visit internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.